What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Air, well hit to center. Kersey's back on the warning track. To the wall, he leaps up and it's gone. It's four bags for Cags and the score's tied at one in the first.
That is the audio of the Omaha Storm Chase.
5-2 Saints in the third. Bradley deals home. Caglione rips a fly ball to right field and that'll be played on one hop off the right field wall. Caglione headed for second. Melendez scores, and it's 5-3 here in the third.
So that audio
that lineup
from
last night was basically the Royals opening day lineup. Did you see the lineup in Omaha last night? Oh my God. Because you said who? With Melendez? Canna? I mean, so many people that you know.
But the kids raking in AAA.
Good.
And that's what you want to see. I think he's got like 10 hits and 18 at bats or something like that. A couple of doubles. He's got a couple of home runs. He's running the bases well. He seems to be healthy, seems to be back in the swing of things. And it is now kind of shifted into the conversation of there are two sides here, I believe, after this weekend and evaluating what people's responses were and talking to some guys around the pool. Hey, Dusty. Hey, guy. Do you think we'll see Cags again this year? And I said, well, I mean, I think I would like to because I'm on the side of obviously fanboy. I will lean into that. I understand that. People, you know that. But also, I'm also on the side of what else can he possibly do in AAA? He's just absolutely destroying that competition. You see the lineup of what he was before he left and got to the pros. He was hitting 320, six homers, 10 RBIs, and that was only 12 games. And then there's the other side of it, which manager Cotrero was interviewed this weekend and had this to say about when or if we see Cags.
He's going to continue to play there. You know, the team dynamic here has changed since he got hurt. He's going to have to keep playing, and when something opens up, he's certainly in consideration to come back. Great. Yeah, he's been running the base as well. I think he's scheduled to play first base tonight. So just getting him exposed to the all-game situations.
So that, I believe, was Saturday night, and that's Annie Rodgers asking the hard-hitting questions, as she always does. Well done to Annie Rodgers every year. Vern will join us in about 2 hours here on Fesco and Dusty, as he does every Monday at 8:20. But the conversation I think we can have is it's not just Cotrero's move here. This is coming from J.J., and he's the general manager, and then that trickles down to Cotrero, and they're having this conversation of Caglione. And I've seen, and Mac made a good point this morning, is Caglione is basically the rookie quarterback he drafted in the first 3 weeks of the season. He's thrown two touchdowns, five interceptions, and he looks like maybe he's up a little early, or he's not figuring it out. And the thing is that he's in AAA on the rehab assignment, and then you hear the comments from Q, well, the team chemistry's changed and something's going to have to open up if he's going to come back up here. I think it's more than that. I think what they're doing is trying to really, really, and I don't think he's an arrogant individual. I don't think that anybody sees that sort of vibe. But I think what they think is maybe they did kind of expedite a little early. Maybe he was kind of shocked in the big leagues, and now he's got to be knocked down a few pegs, even though he might be good enough to play right now in the big leagues. It's more so like, we're going to basically break you spiritually and mentally until like you just look past and be like, I don't ever want to go there again, and use that drive in the big leagues. Now, also, Yastrzemski and Frazier, these guys have been great additions. I mean, I think Adam Frazier's hitting like 329 in the big leagues right now. And Yastrzemski's been pretty good in the leadoff spot. He's been pretty good glove and arm in right field. We saw the diving play he missed the other day. Got up, threw a hose to India. India, hose to home, tag out, nobody hurt. So that's there. They're 63 and 61. They're four games out of the wild card. They're a half game behind Cleveland. And I just don't know how much more he can prove in AAA, because clearly that competition is not good enough for him. And the numbers would insist that. He's got 10 hits and about 17 at-bats in AAA, tons of extra bases, tons of power still. And the fact that the fan base is almost completely 180'd on him, where it's like, I don't want to see him back up here so he can go 10 for 100 and hit two home runs and be a bust. Why do we have that mentality? And I think what they're doing as an organization is they're trying to numb him a little bit. They're trying to be like, hey, dude, like, maybe it was on us, but we want to get to the point where, like, you just absolutely, there's no other option. We have to bring you up. I think we're already there from the production that we've seen that he's done in this rehab start, but time will tell what happens. And like you hear Q say there, something's going to have to open up.
Well, and that's where I am with Jack Caglione. He doesn't deserve to be at the big league level at this point in time. We've seen him at the big league level. He did not perform at the big league level, and you're in a different spot. That was the key for me in Q's comments there. We're in a different spot than we were when Jack Caglione originally got hurt. Yeah, we're two games over 500 and we're competing for a playoff spot. Putting Jack Caglione in your lineup right now makes you a worse team than where you are at this point in time. And that's because of Yaz and Frazier. If they weren't playing good, maybe we could have that conversation. But this is a team right now that has its eyes set on getting into the postseason. Jack Caglione doesn't make you a better team right now. Doesn't give you that opportunity to get to the postseason when you have two veteran bats like Yaz and Frazier, and even Yaz's defense, you know, out there in the outfield right now. If you're serious about making it to the postseason, you don't see Jack Caglione for the rest of the season, because I do not believe he's one of your five best outfielders right now, and I do not believe he deserves to play over anybody that's in this outfield right now, because as Q did say, the dynamic of this team has changed drastically. Had this team lost 2 out of 3 to the White Sox and, you know, we're 6, 7, 8 games back of the wild card, I would say, yeah, bring him up. Let him get that big league experience, because he is doing a nice job down there in AAA. But where this team is right now, you can't afford to have a hole in your lineup, and Jack Caglione is a major league hole right now in that lineup when you have veteran guys producing. And so you're in a playoff push right now. Jack Caglione, in my opinion, does not make you better, does not help you get to the postseason, does not make your roster better. I think, in fact, if you bring him up to this roster right now, it weakens your roster and hurts your chances at making the postseason. So as far as I'm concerned, where this team is right now, it's full speed ahead. Let the veterans do the job. That's why you went out there. That's why you got them, to give you that boost. They're giving you that boost. You take Yaz or Frazier out of the lineup right now, that could be deflating to the clubhouse too, because they're feeling it right now. They're doing good things. They're having fun. They're winning games. They're 2 back over .500. They're 4 back. They got the Rangers coming in. They're feeling good right now. And a lot of it is those moves that were made. Brilliant moves by JJ and company to go out there and get Yaz and Frazier and bring them back. They didn't move the needle, but boy, they fixed this lineup and they made it that much better from a veteran standpoint.
I think he's going to get called up when they expand rosters in September, because you're able to do that.
Sure.
And I think that, and I know I can hear Vern right now when I ask him the question, because Vern's going to say, well, if he gets called up, he needs to play every day, because that's what they want to do with these guys. But that, I think that narrative is different now, where like now you could say, bring him up and let him be on the bench. And if you need a pinch hit player, you can also substitute him out there in left or right field or move things around. Because I do think, even if you haven't seen it, I think he gives you a better bat option off the bench than a John Rave or a Tyler Tolbert. Now, Tolbert can run bases.
Tolbert's
so
got
he's got speed. So
yeah,
that's going to be an advantage. But, I mean, tie game, seventh inning, you want to bring in a pinch hitter for, you know, have Cags come up there because X player's up that doesn't really give you a chance to really, like, maybe give you a chance to hit a home run. Maybe that can be your move. Maybe you don't necessarily have to play him every day, but you could use him kind of the way they use John Rave right now. And I think he gives you a little bit more pop and a little bit more juice in that role than maybe necessarily playing every day in right or DHing or playing at first base. But, you know, something like happens to Vinny Pasquantino the other day where he has heat exhaustion. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, what do we do now? It's like, well, Cags on the bench. You can put him at first and he gets his bat in there. And it's one of those things where it's like, we don't need you to play every day. We don't need you to be this player right now. Just go be a component into the lineup. And, you know, maybe you get that DH, maybe you get that sort of, you know, off the bench surge where it's like, hey, go up there, no pressure. Just all you have to do is try to get a hit or try to hit one out of here. And then, you know, we'll move on to the next game. Instead of every day you're playing right field, you're going to be our superstar. You're going to be there. But the fact that people think that he's a 4A player, that he's this bust and all this sort of stuff, to me is just ludicrous.
Yeah, but I think time and circumstance dictate everything. Like, I, you know where I was. I didn't want the guy to come up to the big league level at all this season. I didn't think he was quite ready. I thought one more full year in the minor leagues would have been perfect. But circumstance and time dictated that he needed to come up to the big league level. And he did. There was nobody getting the job done. There was nobody else to bring up. It was before moves were being able to be made. It was early in the season. bring him up to the big league level. We saw what happened at the big league level. Circumstance and time now, though, tells me this is a team that's .500, legitimate shot now to get into the postseason, which is what we all want this team to do. I don't think Jack Caglione has earned at-bats in pressure situations. The only way that I'm letting him play at the big league level right now is in meaningless games or meaningless at-bats, or you're up 10-0, you know, in the seventh inning and you want to put him in late for a couple of innings to get some experience right now, because I can't look at the other 25 guys inside that locker room and tell them, sorry, Yaz isn't playing today or Frazier isn't playing today because we got to get this kid at-bats. Yaz and Frazier are making this thing work right now, and I don't want to mess with anything. Baseball is very, very superstitious, and you don't want to change a damn thing. Like, guys don't even want to change their socks and underwear and all that kind of stuff. We all know how superstitious baseball is, and so I look at it right now, and this is as well as they've played all season long. I don't want to mess with a damn thing right now, and like I just keep going back to that comment by Q. I think that's one of the best comments that we've heard. There really is no room right now for this guy up here. He's going to have to earn his way back, basically, and you earn your way back by playing well, but you also earn your way back by somebody failing at the big league level, and there's nobody failing right now at the big league level in the outfield where we need to bring this guy back up. I love the dynamic of this team right now.
Adam Frazier, slash line, .329, .354, .474, .827. That's strikeout, or that's batting average, OBP, slug, and OPS, .190, .308, .500, .808. That's Mike Yastrzemski. So the bat's really not there for Yastrzemski, but the defense is there, which is why I think you could start Cags like they did in right field, and then you could move in Yastrzemski later in the innings when the, you know, but then again, you know, I don't know. The power.
He's had a couple of big bops already for this ball club, right?
Yeah, he's had a couple. I mean, he's got 3 home runs on the year, and I think we've seen all 3 of them in Kansas City.
We have. Yeah.
And of course, those are American League numbers, so you have seen all those. But yeah, he's 42 of 52 of at-bats and plate appearances. He's got 8 hits. 3 of them are home runs. 4 of them are doubles. So he's hitting extra bases, but still only hitting .190, slashing .308, .500.
A lot of it's for his defense, though, too.
Correct.
Put him out there, because you're not going to win a lot of games, you know, in the postseason by scoring a lot of runs. Hell, the Royals aren't scoring a lot of runs this year, so it's going to be even more dissipated when it comes to the postseason from a run standpoint. So you surround your team, as we saw in 14 and 15. You go out there and you put your best defensive team out there, and it really does give you an opportunity to win a lot of baseball games. And so I think Yaz is that much more superior right now, obviously, than where Cags is. I just don't know at this point in time where this team is, what Jack Caglione adds that this team doesn't have right now. Had this been, you know, a different circumstance and they're 10 games under .500, abso-freaking-lutely bring them up here. But where we are right now, challenging for the postseason, I got to keep my veteran guys in there.
And we can keep talking about the Royals later on today as they play today against the Rangers. Vern's on deck show at 5:30. Royals play at 6:40 on a Monday night versus those Texas Rangers, but the NFLPA, messy situation with the Rashee Rice stuff.
10 games over the weekend they were talking about suspending this guy?
That's why it's going to September 30th.
That's why it's going to September 30th. And 10 games we're talking about suspending Rashee Rice? For
Should
what?
Should be an entire season.
For what? I mean, if we're going to continue to look at past precedences and look at what this league has done, a 10-game suspension, a double-digit suspension, is something unheard of and really, quite honestly, not fitting of what was done by Rashee Rice. Leonard Little killed a person, for God's sakes, that was playing in the NFL. And I know that's a generation ago, but still, I mean, 10 games, 12 games, whatever the suspension is that the league was potentially talking about for Rashee Rice is absolutely insanity. And it sounds like to me that they're trying to like send a message or something and make an example out of Rashee Rice. I don't think that's what punishments need to be used for, to try to make an example out of somebody. You do the punishment that fits the crime, and a double-digit game suspension on this is blasphemy to me. It's unbelievable. I'm stunned that they were talking about that many games of being suspended.
Goes right where we thought it would be. I think they're going to give him an 8-game suspension. I think the Chiefs are going to challenge it. I think it's going to be 6. I think that's what we're going to be at.
I mean, I'm shocked that we're talking about such a long suspension for Rashee Rice. Stunned that we're talking about a long suspension like that for Rashee Rice.
I mean, we've seen domestic violent cases get 4 games.
Yes.
We've seen DUI cases get 3 games.
Right.
Multiple offender in the DUI case, in Jordan Addison, 3 games.
And be honest with you, DUIs, man, that's putting, I mean, I know Rashee Rice put some other people's lives at risk, but you're driving around drunk. How many more people are you putting at risk on the roads when you're driving around drunk? So if you're going to give a drunk driver 4 games, then Rashee Rice should get 4 games.
He left the scene.
Yeah.
It's a big part of it. It was on camera, another big part of it. Talk about the bottom line in the NFL.
Yeah.
It was on film, broad daylight. There are huge differences. They are completely different cases. Also, I've been guilty of what you guys both did. Well, this happened, and this was way worse. That should have been suspended more, too, right?
Like,
we want
the
NFL. But they can change, right? We don't want to be like, well, this guy killed someone and wasn't suspended. Well, that's a problem. The NFL should have suspended them. This guy domestically abused someone, whatever it was. It was only suspended 6 games. Yeah, it should have been 16. Should have been 2 seasons. Like,
and
there should be more. I'm not saying that this is correct. I'm just saying I don't think that's good
logic
either.
This is just the timing of product and placement.
Yeah.
But also, too, in punishments, and we'll just use that term, whether it's legally.
Yeah,
we always follow past precedents. I mean, you see it all the time. Okay, well, this guy did this, and so he got this. You know, I would imagine, and I'm not a judge, but I would imagine if anybody knows a judge or you are a judge or you're a lawyer, I imagine when they're giving sentencing for things, they look at what similar cases have been
for
sentenced,
sure,
and they probably go off of that. So while you're not wrong at all by this should have been, it wasn't. And so you've set this past precedent before, I would think you've got to start following that. And then if you want to change the rules, then you have the opportunity to do so in the next collective bargaining agreement and kind of lay out a standard and practices, at least a formula for how you're going to punish guys in the NFL for doing things. I know there's so many different things out there. We don't have a blanket for all of it, but you can kind of come up with driving offenses, drug offenses, domestic violence offenses.
For sure.
And let's get some standardized punishments across the board so everybody kind of knows and we're not just guessing willy-nilly at this kind of stuff, because I don't think that's fair to anybody involved.
Yeah, they need to make it like kind of how they have like Class 1 misdemeanor, Class 2,
exactly.
Class 1 felony,
yeah.
Class 2, like, what, there's 3 different degrees, maybe 4 different degrees of murder, right? There's like first degree, second degree, third degree. And, you know, if this is in a certain category, it gets these amount of games. If it's in this sort of category, it's this amount of games. But I think they're going to give him an 8-game suspension. I really do.
I mean, I'm stunned. And I don't think you're necessarily wrong about it. I'm just shocked that we're
now
at
the NFL
this
can be like, yeah, it's not 10.
Right.
It's 8. And then the Chiefs are like, well, let's do 6. And then all of a sudden, he plays the first 5 weeks of the season. Then he misses 6. So he's going to miss weeks 7, 8, bye week at 9. Does that count as a suspension day? So that doesn't count. So then you get 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. He's back week 15.
But see, that's the thing. We got to get this known fast because then it trickles into the postseason, guys.
Oh, yeah. And I said that on Friday it was going to happen that way. But I mean, you could also look at it as in a way where not everything is doom and gloom, where it's like, yeah, we get over the first 5 games, then he misses 6 or 7 or 8 games, and then right when the playoffs start to ramp up, here comes your wide receiver one who's healthy and fresh and everything on the table.
But let's say this judge does rule in favor of the NFL, and they do give him a double-digit suspension, and it's week 5 games are already in. I mean, then the appeals process, you got to expedite that like in a day to see what's going to happen. Otherwise, we are going to fall into the playoffs if it's that many games. I don't think ultimately at the end of the day it will be double digits, because I do think there will be negotiations and appeals and all that kind of stuff. But if they don't get this thing moving and they end up do giving him this huge suspension and it does go into the postseason, oh my God, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Does that kind of punishment fit the crime? I don't know the answer to that question. Immediately on the surface, I would say no, it doesn't. All the stuff that he's done legally to try to rectify this and apologize and make good for all of this, and then the league's going to kind of come in and give you a 12-game suspension, 10-game suspension. I don't know. Does that fit the crime? Not based on what this league has done before, and that's all we can go on.
No, NFLPA is a huge part of this, too. I mean, the NFLPA being in a complete mess, them not having a leader to come help out Rashee Rice and come help out the Chiefs it's a massive part of this. Field Yates was on this way early, and he's correct. I mean, he was calling it was going to be double digits a few weeks ago, and I was like, you're full of it. But yeah, I mean, the NFLPA is why they're needed, because representation here would be huge for Rashee Rice.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who's running that thing? Who's helping Rashee Rice on that side of things from a players association standpoint? Because haven't they gone through like 3 directors in the last week?
Yes, because they're spending money at strip clubs and doing a bunch of BS.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's a fair point. There's like no safeguard in place for Rashee Rice. There's nobody to help this guy out. There's nobody to say his side of the story at this point in time. And I will plead ignorance on this. Do the Chiefs have an option? Like, can Brett go in there and Mark and Clark and sit down and have these meetings? Or does Andy go in and say, like, if Andy walks in the room and goes, hey, I got this. You know, do we give him a little bit less of a suspension because we know he's going back to an adult as opposed to Mike McDaniel or somebody like that?
Well, that's the thing. This happened almost 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this should, I don't know if this should matter.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
There hasn't been any a peep since.
No, it should matter. Absolutely
there's
should
been
matter.
No other crime. There's been he's stayed out of trouble.
Right. If there
like
was,
you said, he's rectified this.
Yeah, if there were other instances where he did it again or got in trouble again and it was multiple times and stuff, that's a different conversation.
Yes.
He made the mistake and he's done everything to try to rectify it. I just think a double-digit suspension is way too much for this situation.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.